parable to those who are convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. The other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Opening prayer today is kind of poignant, praying for the people with their hearts set on the Paschal mysteries. It's very easy for us during these days to have our minds and our hearts set elsewhere, especially when it looks like we're not going to be able to celebrate the Triduum together as a Catholic family. Our hearts can be set on what we're seeing in the news, but we come to set our hearts on what we are preparing to celebrate liturgically, this renewal in time of the most important events that have ever happened, which must influence the way that we're living these days. What are those mysteries? Jesus' passion and death in order to take away our sins, and his resurrection so that we might grow in his risen life. To celebrate Mass well, to come up to the temple to pray aright, is to pray with those Paschal mysteries in mind, because that's what we enter into at Mass. So we're supposed to be entering more and more deeply into the Lord's mystery throughout Lent and recognizing those ways that we're not yet fully living his risen life yet. Come on up here to receive those gifts. There's the extraordinary image in the prophet Ezekiel, that water trickling from the eastern side of the temple down into the Araba, the desert, and raising from the Dead Sea. And as Ezekiel goes, first it's just a small little trickle, and then it's up to his ankles, then it's up to his knees, then it's up to his waist, and then he has to swim in it. That goes back to this last Sunday's gospel about the living water. We're supposed to be growing in our relationship with Jesus, that living water. At the beginning, it's just a small little sprinkle on the top of our head at baptism. But then we're supposed to walk in it. We're supposed to have it come up to our knees and lead us to pray, to our waist in a real chaste life, and over our head so that we're fully immersed in it. We're supposed to keep growing. Today in the prophet Hosea, he calls the people to conversion, because God, through him, says, your piety is like the morning cloud, like the dew that early passes away. We can start off really pious when we're young, but eventually cynicism, experience, unanswered prayers, who knows? We can lose that love we had at first. Hosea wants to call us not just to maintain that morning dew, but to open ourselves up to the one who will come to us like the rain, like the spring rains that water the earth. Hosea gives us very consoling words today. Let us strive to know the Lord as certain as the dawn is his coming. Just like when Mass is over, we will see the sun arisen. So, as certain as that sun's rise is the Lord's coming, to come later on at Mass, to come to rescue us in every circumstance, to come for us at the end of time. Our piety has to be something far more than that morning dew. What Jesus wants us to do is to be living in that living water. But in order for that to occur, we have to recognize how much we need that gift. That's what the parable in today's gospel is about. Two people went to pray. One didn't really think he needed it. One knew he didn't deserve God's favor, but he was there to plead for it. The first, the Pharisee, religiously outward, a tremendously good man. He prayed, like the Pharisees do, at least twice a day. He fasted twice a week, whereas the typical Jew fasted one day a year on the Day of Atonement. The Jews tithed only 10% of certain items. He tithed his whole income. And he was making that hike up to Jerusalem, up to the Temple Mount, in order to pray regularly. But he prayed in a self-centered way. Jesus in this parable tells us that the Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. He wasn't really speaking to God and all God's majesty. He was really bragging before the Lord and everybody else. God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of humanity, all those spiritual losers out there, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or like this tax collector. He didn't realize that even though he wasn't avaricious or wasn't telling lies or committing adultery in the flesh, he was arrogant, proud, judgmental, and uncharitable. And he just didn't recognize that those were sins too. He left that temple area that day not in right relationship with the Lord, unjustified. Prayer hadn't changed. He didn't even arrive like the morning dew. He arrived, in a sense, dead, because he was focused on himself rather than on God and others. The publican, on the other hand, the mafioso of the ancient world who used to shake down his own people greedily in collaboration with a foreign power that didn't respect the Jewish religion, so hated at every level, went on up and he stayed far away, and all he did was beg for mercy. He knew we needed it, even though he didn't deserve it. He knew that God was kind and merciful, slow to anger, and rich in compassion. He knew that God desired mercy, not the sacrifice of all the animals there. And he wanted us first to receive that gift and then share that gift. So that's what he asked for, and that's what he received. He left the temple in right relationship with the Lord precisely because of his mercy. When we come on up, what is our approach to the mercy of the Lord? When we pray at the beginning of the Mass that we've greatly sinned by our own most grievous fault, does that prayer fade over the course of the day or even over the course of the Mass? When we say, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, my soul shall be healed. Does that fade by the time we receive? Or do we recognize how much we need that gift? Is it a constant reality, such that we're always athirst for the mercy of the Lord? And knowing how much we need it, are transformed in order to give it to those who need it just as much. Now, it's interesting for those who walk in the streets of New York during these days, or if people walk through Grand Central Station, it's like half the people you see on the streets are homeless. God is bringing them in more and more into the light as we walk. Today, as I was walking here, I saw two guys really scavenging the trash to see what they might be able to find there before everybody else was noticing. The Lord, who extends to us great mercy, wants us changed so that we can be his outstretched arms in the midst of this time in which so many are suffering more than we are. Today we have come to this temple to pray. The Lord wants us to leave justified. He's going to give us his mercy. But the one thing he can't give us is recognition and a burning desire to receive that gift. Pope Francis has always used the image of the human heart with its systolic and diastolic moments. Systolic, in which blood is pumped into the heart. Diastolic, when blood is pumped out. If one of those two actions doesn't occur, the heart is dead and the person is dead. In the same way, we need to pump in God's mercy and then we need to pump it on out. Otherwise, the heart is dead. For unless we forgive others, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us our sins. Jesus told us when he gave us the Our Father. Today we humbly come before the Lord, seeking to be exalted together with him in a holy communion. His mercy meets our misery. His desire to give himself meets our hunger for him. And we pray that our love for him might not be like the morning dew, but like the sun that never sets. Praise be Jesus Christ.